Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, live from Las Vegas. I want to welcome everyone to the show. Beautiful weather out there in Las Vegas today, so I know I'm enjoying it. Great guest here tonight with us, Tom Funstein, or Funstein, how do I say that, man?
Funstein,
okay, I apologize. So we got Tom Funstein in studio with us, and Mr. Doug Hamm. The hound dog, so we'll find out why here shortly. Thanks for being here with us, guys. Of course, hosting tonight, the one and only JJ Nunn.
Good evening.
See how I slowed down with that? Had to relax. You won't get your riled up or anything.
You?
Oh, you always scare me. Every Tuesday, I'm scared coming in the door, so just want to put that out there.
Actually, I behave when we have guests. Doug,
listen.
I behave when we have guests.
Hey,
it's just when we don't have guests.
Looks like we're going to have a guest every week.
Yeah, we Gary, we know what to do.
Yes, I
do. Of course,
do.
The other voice hosting tonight, the man on a mission, Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Thanks for being here, guys.
Yeah. Appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, it's race season again, so that's always something to look forward to. We're going to do some mic swapping here in a minute, so we got short leashes here. But anyways.
You want to swap them up? I'll run our sponsors at the head of the show.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do that? We'll talk about the sponsors real quick. We're going to do some.
Figure out what you want to do there.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll give Doug a chance to loosen up too a little bit.
Thank you.
Hey. How about you, Tom? You only have water. What's up?
Water's good.
Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and run through our sponsors real quick, and then we'll get to you guys here in a second if that's cool.
Yeah, go ahead. Nevada Pick Apart. Want to thank Steve Burke at Nevada Pick Apart.
Hey,
go down there, bring your tools, pay a dollar to go in, go find your part. Take it off the car, bring it to the counter. Most of the time, a lot of parts stores don't have what you need. Nevada Pick Apart. Camp Out. Anthony, Camp Out. You're looking for a camper shell. You're looking for a race car trailer. You're looking for a landscaping trailer. You're looking for an enclosed trailer. And RV parts. They carry every RV part that's possible for any RV that you have, anything and everything. Go down, go see Anthony at Camp Out on Boulder Highway. I want to thank Reliable Banner. You're opening up a business, you got Reliable Banner, sign and supply, professional graphic artists, on premises, envelopes, letterhead, business cards, you name it. Go check out www.rbprints.com. That's rbprints.com. Want to thank Phil and Jim at Pick Arts Radiator. Hey, starting to get warm outside. They not only take care of keeping your car cool, but they also handle AC units, and they can keep you cool inside your car. That's Phil and Jim down at Pick Arts Radiator. Want to thank Daniel at Bus Muffler. You need some engine parts, that's Roadrunner Engine Parts. Go see Ken Watson at Roadrunner Engine Parts. And also want to thank, another big thanks to Rob Street at Duo Street Publishing. You can catch him on Facebook. He's the staff photographer, or you can get a hold of him. You're looking for a picture cards for your race car. He's the one to see, 702-862-6042.
Cool.
And back to the show.
Yeah, cool. I think that about wraps up show sponsors, I guess. But
I can go home now?
No, you can go home now.
Yeah.
No.
See,
you got to handle
really
these guys, man. What are you talking about?
Around,
you got to handle these two fine young gentlemen here. Hey, speaking of you guys, Tom Funstein, modified driver this year,
yes,
at the LVMS, and also, of course, no stranger to the Bullring, Doug the Hound Dog Ham. So
yes,
thanks,
sir.
Appreciate you guys being here. So,
coming off a win.
That's right.
Coming off a win. Been a long time since you've been there.
Been about 2 years since I had a win.
We started to get worried there for a little while.
That was a long drought.
Do you attribute anything to that being, it's been a couple years since you've been in the winner's circle? Is it something you think you did or your team did, or if you don't mind me asking, or is it something you just think just has been a drought?
We had a lot of things going on the last couple of years, and this year we got something strong together with Funstein and H-Town Racing and Pat Petrie and Chris Bray. I mean, we just got something really gelling, and I think we hit on something, and hopefully we win a couple more at the local shows and get one on the tour.
Are you going to be running both the tour and the local shows? Both?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, we head off to Tucson this weekend.
Cool, cool. What do you like Tucson track? I know it's been a little while. You guys,
I love Tucson. It's got about 4, 5, 6 grooves. You can go wherever you want.
I haven't been there, so we'll have to take a trip down there sometime, Gary.
Yes, we do.
We're going to have to bring the bombers.
They run them down there,
get
don't
some
they?
970s for the right side, and away we go.
There
cool.
you go. So cool. You find it hard to juggle the local series and the traveling series? Of course, Lucas Oil Modifieds is...
With the local thing, we're just trying to keep the car count high and try to put on a show for the fans. And the tour is extremely tough. I got 2 wins there, but that's been a long time ago as well. And we're trying to get another one. It's just a lot of competition. Everybody from the West Coast is on the tour. That's
right.
Good, fast, and Funstein's backing me 100%. And we're trying to rip the bag open for a couple more wins.
Well, absolutely. Of course, the Lucas Oil Modified, it seems like every time somebody figures something out, it progresses to a whole new level every year. So that series has just grown and expanded.
Yeah, it seems like every time we go to the racetrack, there's a new track record. It's
right.
Just usually the same guy, but...
You start scratching your head like, what the heck is that guy doing? You know, that's something you kind of backpedal and start doing your own research. And you're in Funstein's shop, I guess. Is that what you guys are doing now, Tom?
It's all our shop.
A collaboration of great minds, right?
I don't know about the mind part. we have a lot of fun. There's good chemistry in that shop with Chris and Doug and Pat and Jeff Bergerhoff, myself, and some other people that come in and help when it gets close to race day. So
we also got the super late model win with
that's right.
Peyton Saxton.
Oh,
out of
there
our
you
shop.
Go. Right out of the shop. Right. Yeah. Well, I was just going to say that some of the names you're throwing out there are not just modified drivers. You have a number of different divisions.
Saxton's a good part for us too. He's just for being 18 years old, a kid can wheel a car.
Well, that brings up a good point. You know, 18 years old, and here it is. He's
He works. He's at the shop just about every day, and not only working on his car, he jumps in with us, and it's like I say, it's a big team effort over there. Whatever has to be done, gets done, and we have a good time doing it.
And not to say you guys are old or anything, do you find that the 18-year-old mindset brings something different to the table in the shop? I mean, we see it on the track nowadays with more aggressive driving and things like that.
He takes a lot of grief from us.
That's good.
Said he's 18 years old.
So he's your therapy, right?
Well, with me, that's why I haven't won in 2 years. Chris Bray's always had a young gun in the race car.
Right.
One is Peyton Saxton. He won pretty much every race last year. So now he doesn't have anybody in the seat except me. So
hey,
I get to go out and have fun.
You give us all something to look forward to. Maybe there's a chance for us, not just the young guys. Right? And again, not saying you're old, but your name has been around at the LVMS Bullring for a long time, as far as I remember back. When did you start back at LVMS? At the Bullring?
I started racing back in 96, 97.
That's when I started out there, and I think that's why I was in the mini stocks way back when. But what did you start in?
Modified.
Oh, that's back when...
it was IMCA Modified.
Yep, the IMCA Modified.
We had Randy Swalwell and
Don,
DJ Schirkenberg.
Schirkenbach.
Schirkenbach. Yeah.
And Donnie Williams.
Donnie Williams.
Michael.
Jerry Walton.
Oh, yeah, Walton. Man, a lot of names I haven't heard in a long time.
And now you got it coming back around with Eric McMorrin, related to CJ.
Right, right.
So it comes around.
And we've talked about that, some of the names we hear coming up. You hear a lot of the same names, but they're the kids or the grandkids. It's like, oh, man, I don't know. That's cool, but it's not cool because it kind of shows our age a little bit.
It proves we're all brainwashed.
Yeah. Right, we're passing it along. Right?
That's it. Either that or we're just one step over to brain dead.
Right. It starts with brain dead.
You
know, yeah.
When you start seeing the kids that show up that were 3, 4, 5 years old, now at 17 years, if they're 20 years old and in a car.
Right.
You're like, yeah, we getting old.
I mean, if you really think about it, 96, that's been a little while ago. Well, that's how I got started. My dad was a crew chief or a helper for Fabian Bray, which is Chris's dad.
Right.
And now me and Chris are doing the same thing.
Is that crazy? You start thinking about the progression from 96, you know, the things that's happened out at the track, you know. It's pretty crazy. But you've been in a modified from that point. Did you play around?
I did modified, then I don't know. I don't remember. I hit the wall one too many times and switched over to late models. Then I hit the fence again and got back into modified.
You did fairly well. Did you do a whole season in the late models back then?
I believe I'd done 4 or 5 years in a late
was
model.
Was it that? What'd you think of the jumping from the modified?
Into late models like a big tank.
Oh, you think so? Really?
Yeah, you don't need no skill in those things.
Nothing against you guys, your other super late models out there. Back then, they were sportsmen.
Well, I've never been in a super.
Oh, okay, that's a little different.
That was
true.
A late model.
That's true.
I don't have enough talent for a super late model.
You know, that's a good point, because they have actually progressed from like the 90, from 96 on. I think they were called sportsmen at one time, and then they went to late models, and they had, I don't know, limited late models.
Limited
late. You know, yeah. Couldn't keep up there for a few years. They just started changing so many things. But the supers today don't compare to like what you're saying is like the late models back then, huh?
Oh, no, they're way out. That super late model is a way out class of late model. But like I said, my buddy Peyton just won, and he'd rather be in a modified. Cause,
really?
Yeah, wow. Modifieds get her done.
He likes the excitement of the handful.
Yeah,
you're
working the wheel in a modified.
But what made him get out and go to a super late? I mean, he won the championship last year in a modified, and was what prompted him?
Well,
to get out so you can win again?
Yeah, I told him he had to get out.
Yeah, you guys forced him out. Hey, we need to get some wins in there.
Well, fortunately, we have a fast car in the race shop, and it's just sitting there. JJ done a hell of a job in it last year, and the opportunity rose for Peyton to give it a shot. And then he wants to concentrate on working on race cars, being a crew chief, running teams. Peyton don't want to be too much of a driver, but he wants to win that super late model championship on his resume.
That's pretty cool to want more than, you know, cause it's usually the opposite nowadays. Everybody just wants to drive. Hey, set me up a car. I just want to drive.
That's me.
You're hired. Tom, you got to take her.
You can't get rid of a pound.
The car brings up a good point. I guess the car you're driving now, is that your car, or have you rented cars in the past, and what do you like better, owning, renting, driving?
Ever since I started racing, it's always been a Phil's Bray fabrication car, either modified or a late model. He built all my cars, been home built, and I got the opportunity this year to drive Funstein's car, which is
cool.
A brand new car that Phil's Fabrication just came up with, and I love it.
You know, I gotta say this, what a great guy Tom Funstein, who hasn't driven one of your cars, right? You know, it's cool that you put your car out there for somebody. I mean, not just Doug, but you've done it in the past where somebody's gotten a bad wreck, let's say in the Lucas Oil Modifieds. I think you did it for Martis or someone in the past and was able to help.
There's a lot of racers that do that. That's what's so nice about
the
Modified Series. Big old heart. You know, you see a lot of things that happen in the modifieds. Guys break down and guys get parts immediately. So it's been outstanding having Doug around. He's not only a great driver, one of the better drivers I ever ran into. His
head's getting big right now.
He's a funny
new
guy.
Earphones.
You never know what's going to come out.
A new helmet.
A new helmet. How do you find a helmet big enough for Doug?
It ain't easy.
Cool.
I'm still working on the Hans.
Yeah. All right. Just to fit it. No, that's cool. You know, I mean, Pat's been in here, of course, in the past, and he's another person that we see out at the racetrack that really tries to help other teams and people stay out of the track. He's done that with the modifieds, of course, wanting to build this division up here and keep the car counts up out here. So I think we'll see it. I mean, it's nice to see you back out here locally, Doug, and of course you again, Tom, you know, to be able to help build this division. So
we've got a lot of support. We have Dale Hayden helping us this year with tires now, and he's there all the time. His wife, Dolly, I think she cooks for everybody out that track. And if you don't eat it, she comes and finds you to eat it.
Eat it. Some damn good chicken, isn't it? She knows how to cook chicken.
I'm going
to
tell you something. You know, every trip we go on and every race we go on, I get a box of cookies that nobody can touch. She's a sweetheart. And so is Dale. Dale's just, he's all over helping us. And just, you know, he's a very intricate part of so far our success this year.
Cool. Well, there you go. The motto is damn good chicken and
damn good chicken.
Don't touch my box of cookies.
Remember that chicken?
Dale loves racing so much, he put Scotty Osborne in his car.
Right.
I was just going to say that. I haven't seen a guy out there in a long time, and Scotty Osborne was in his car, right?
Yes, sir. And I don't think anybody's ever driven that car as well as Scotty.
You know, he did a hell of a job.
He did a great job in that car for just jumping in there, and he's a great guy.
It's been a while since we've seen the Oz man out there.
We've got to get him back on the show. You guys had him on the show a while.
Yeah, you missed
know,
that
four
show.
And a half. Unfortunately, I missed that show.
Yeah, that,
you guys are going to have to bring more beer.
Yeah.
We got a fridge bowl. Get him another one.
Did you guys have Scott down at the shop at all? Or?
Yeah, he's been around the last couple of weeks playing with his car and getting his ready. He's going to get back out there again and race
with us. It's been a while since he's
been Fields Fabrication is building him a brand new race car for this year.
Wow.
The pressure was on to get it done the first of the race, but him and Dale became pretty good friends, so I think the pressure's off to get it done. I think it'll get done July 3rd.
Yeah. Cool. That'd be a good time to showcase it. Brand new car. Do you guys think it's easier and better to just build it, you know, a new car or have a new car built than to kind of tweak an old one and make it work? Or,
you know, the cars the new builders of today, the Chris Brays and some other people in the West Coast that build
the
cars.
I'll say it.
The STRs. You know, it's a nice group because everybody gets along. STR Steve Teets is a
great guy. Absolutely.
He's a great guy. He'll be the first one to help you out and talk to you. Him and Chris have, you know, become pretty good friends and exchange a lot of good information. That's a lot of good mechanics and strategy when those guys are working together. And so they kind of feed off each other. Everybody thinks they should hate each other, and it's just the opposite. They respect each other for what they do, and it's just made the cars quicker. I mean,
exactly. I was just
the way the speeds are and between, I think, first and 26th last year, it was 0.3 seconds in
amazing.
Qualifying.
Amazing. Can you believe that?
That's
insane.
Yeah.
That close.
Yeah, it is. It's just,
wow.
Is there anything you'd like to see, like, at the LVMS Bullring modifieds done differently that you've seen the Lucas Oil modifieds that works? Or
more cars.
Yeah, obviously, more cars, yeah.
We run identical rules.
Right, they actually run the Lucas Oil rules. But technically they're Grand American modifieds, right?
Yeah.
But they run the Lucas Oil.
It's just hard to pull the guys away from Lucas Oil modifieds. Yeah. I mean, they're so
they
dedicated.
Got so much invested in dedicated and invested in that series.
They get the tow money, the prize money's way up there. Greg Scheidecker does an awesome job for that series.
Yeah, he sure does.
It's hard to get them drivers to pull away from that.
Do you think different payout or something would be the key? Or I mean,
you know, I don't think anybody that's racing in the series here locally is even cares about the money, to be real honest. I mean, it helps buy tires,
you know,
now, but you know, Timmy and you know, all the people in the staff that's over at the Bullring, they've given us such an opportunity locally to get out there and play and test and hopefully put a good show on for the people. So I don't, you know, myself speaking, the money's really immaterial for the opportunity they give us.
Well, it's good that they allow, you know, because for a little while there was no modifieds at the local show. And so it was cool, like you said, for Tim to be able to bring them back and make an effort to have the modifieds back out. Because that's one of the most exciting series to watch out there are the modifieds. You know, obviously they all are good and fun to watch, but nothing's better than the modified.
The bombers ain't too bad. You had the highest car count.
Yeah, last year we had, we had car count again. We 20 signed in, 19 started. Fortunately for Martin Sullins, he broke. But car count's been there, you know. That's I think we averaged 19 last year, the entire year, and lined up, I don't know, 25, 26 for the last race of the season. So, you know, the bombers aren't, you know, I don't think it's Tim's concern right now. As long as they keep showing up and putting people in seats, it's the other divisions, the super stocks that unfortunately are, you know, running 6-7. Saw a couple new cars out there this past race, a couple more modifieds out there. Like you said, Scotty Osborne, you know, thanks to Dale for getting out there. And of course, Tom putting people in car to support the count. I mean, I go back, I go watch videos from 06, 07 before the 08 crash, stands full and lining up 25 mods. And you remember running in that. And,
I would love to get that back.
You know, and that's what we're all striving for. You know, is to get the rest of the divisions up in count and fill those stands.
You know, I think it's on an upward motion right now. You know, I think
it's coming back. Well, it's getting better.
Right. And I think what happened with the, in my opinion, like with the modifieds, when they kind of tanked here locally with the economy, they had somewhere to go. They had Greg Scheidecker and Bill Rizzone down there trying to build a series, and there was somewhere for the modifieds to actually go where, like, the super stocks, you know, they didn't. So they kind of suffered a little bit. And, you know, hopefully we'll start to see an upswing. There's, like you guys here with modifieds coming back, 2-3 cars, you know, every year is going to make a difference, you know, once you start seeing names like Doug Hamm and yourself, Tom Funstein, you know. Pat Petrie, of course, always out there too, you know, and pushing to get guys back out. So, yeah, it's good to see that. I think we'll start seeing a rise in car counts again.
Little by little, the economy's coming back little by little.
You know, like
people
the,
are putting, you know.
Well, more, they're going to start in the affordable divisions first, which are the bombers and the skid plates and the, you know, the entertainment divisions first, I think.
The bombers were always, you know, well, besides when Stetzer started them and it was Roland Demo Derby, bombers entry level division.
Right.
That's the way it was gotten into. It's progressed. It's entry level.
Bombers are really competitive compared to a lot of other places. You guys put on a good show.
You know,
have you guys ever dabbled in any of those stock cars, I guess?
We don't have any money left.
Well, Jeff,
supposed to be the other way around.
Yeah. Jeff Bargenhoff ran out of H-Town for a number of years, and he ran a bomber unwillingly into a wall several times. But now he's going to skid plates, I understand. So, I mean, he should be a natural.
He did really well last week. He turned around and decided to come in backwards across the start-finish line. I think he was third at that time, ended up being fourth. So he did a great job the first time being out there in it.
Yeah.
He really had a lot of fun.
Well, he practiced that in the bombers sideways. I just love breaking Jeff's chops.
Jeff is really a great guy, man. Anything you want from him, he's always there for us. And it's really, again, he's another really big part of our operation.
How many cars do you have out of your shop?
We can't tell anybody that.
Is it a number between 10 and 50? No.
It depends on what day you're there. It depends on what day you're there and whose car they belong to. So it's full right now. So it's just we have to have a strategy every time we walk in there to
move
stuff around.
So you gotta like rotate.
But operational one, most of them are operational. There's a couple of them that are in the building stage, but those will go quick now. And
right.
It's just, I think three of them need to get out of there in the next month, so that's a pretty hectic schedule. So, but it's crowded right now.
Well, you guys focus a lot on, like, let's say you have your car out there. Obviously, Doug, you won this last race. Do you put any more time into that to try to tweak it to get it even better, or do you say, hey,
the first
we'll
race,
see what
the first race we had with Doug driving down at Le Cabassou, Somebody wanted to win the race in the second lap and virtually tore off the whole rear of the car. So everybody did a great job putting that car back together again. We had a week to do it before the bull ring. And our goal wasn't just to get it out there. Our goal was to win. And
not just to get it.
And Doug took care of that. I mean, he did a great job with it. And he still had a lot more he could have showed out there that he didn't have to, because he strategy wise, he got up in front and just played for the rest of the race. But it was pretty outstanding when you get 4, 5, 6 people that known each other for a short period of time, and everybody just jumps in and helps. And some of Doug's friends and relatives come out there. It's like an orchestra in there at times where we just get our stuff done. And congratulations to Doug, because he was the one who pulled it off when he got out there.
Doug, obviously you get a couple extra pats on the back there.
Now we're all a team. I mean, Funstein will jump in my car, right. I'll jump in his car, and we'll just try to figure things out. I mean, we're just one big team here trying to help everybody out. Just as long as we keep Peyton out of the seat.
keep him underneath the car.
And Pat blocks for everybody. So.
Love you, Pat.
He does a great job, too.
He's the blocker. He's the lineman.
Now, did you expect to start the season with this? 2 premier divisions, super late model win, and a modified win. Did you expect to come out of the chute that quick and that fast, especially after tearing up a car down in Navasota? Yeah.
My goal is not for the first race. It's for championships for both series. That's what we're looking for.
Okay. So.
Okay, now.
It's out there.
I better start jogging.
Now, hold on. You know, that brings up a point that I'll bring up. So you're looking at the championship as the goal for your teams out there.
Yes. In both divisions.
In both divisions.
And mods.
And obviously, as a racer, a driver, you want to win every race, which usually coincides with a championship. What do you think of the point system that Tim has implemented last year and, of course, carried over into this year? You know, not put anybody on the spot, good, bad, or otherwise, but...
To be honest with you, I don't even know the point system.
You just go out and drive, and whatever it turns out to be, it is.
I don't know what it is.
If there's any strategy involved with any...
We just go race.
Well, the modifieds, we only have 7 cars, so I don't know what kind of strategy you got besides just win. Supers, I don't know what their deal is. Maybe it's the same point system. I have no idea.
Right. Now, and that does bring up a point. You know, there is a difference between 7 cars and 15 cars, you know, where
and 20 and 25.
The passing point, I guess you
passing
can call
points,
it.
Yeah.
You know, it does make a difference, but I'm just curious.
I don't know if anybody in the modifieds even questioned what Tim did and tried to implement. We're just so happy he gives us the opportunity to go out there and have a modified series and race. He's a really proponent for, you know, for that division for us. We wouldn't be racing here if it wasn't for him. So
now you was it last year or the year before you raced a super stock, Tom?
I had a super stock. I bought Phil's. We kept it for about a year, and I think everybody in town drove it. It was a great car. Phil did a phenomenal job with that car. It just got to the point that we just had too many vehicles we use it as a play car, and he used it as a very fast car. He did very, very well. I love to watch him race that car. So we sold it to a gentleman down in California. In fact, he was up here racing this past weekend.
No kidding.
It was the first time he raced the car, so he's got some work to do on it now. But
is that something he's planning on doing, is racing up here?
He's talking about coming up here. There's a few people from Southern California about talking about coming up here and racing, you know, out of Vegas. A couple of the modified guys that run out of Havasu area have talked about even coming up and running a modified series, because they just want to get back to having some fun and not spending a lot of money like they have to do on the series.
Right. Yeah, obviously a traveling series like that is
expensive,
right? And if you travel to one track, it's expensive, but not as much, you know. But And I know Orange Show actually don't have a modified series this year. They did last year, I think. I don't think they have modified this year. I didn't see them on the schedule
Doug likes that track, but he pulled it. I thought there was a McDonald's out there because we were in one of the turns looking at him. All of a sudden, we didn't find it. We couldn't see him.
Well,
Doug? He went out the exit. He got pushed out of the exit. Really, it was fortunate there was an exit to go out of last year, but it was. Our hearts were pounding pretty hard there for a few minutes.
That's a tough track for modifieds. I do have to say, because they do start quite a few of them, and there's not a lot of track there. I guess the safest place is probably the exit. So you made the right move. See, smart move there. But I don't know if the Lucas Oil is on the schedule for Orange Show or not. I don't know if they are. Okay.
Yes,
cool.
Yeah. They're just not running a local series.
The local series here. Okay.
September 23rd they go.
Okay.
Lucas goes.
Lucas Oil. And of course you plan on doing the Lucas Oil races. Do you prepare differently for those than you do locally here? I mean, obviously this is your backyard here. You know, I mean, anything you do different when, obviously different.
Well,
tracks,
the stress level
setup
goes up a lot more.
Does it really?
Yeah. We like the local stuff. We just like to have fun and
right.
barbecue and hang out. And I mean, we try to minimize the expense on the tires and just put on a show. I mean, it's totally different when we go on the tour. I mean, it's tensed up a little
more
bit.
More competitiveness going on in the series, huh?
Yeah, we need to get another win in that series.
What's the highest you've gotten in that series? This year, I guess, you only raced, one or two races in the Lucas Oil?
In the Lucas Oil, I've got two wins. Last year, my highest was second at Salt Lake.
Okay. You like those, bringing up Salt Lake? I've never been there. These guys have been there.
Yeah,
they love watching that track.
We watched the drive at second. Gary and I got up there last year. And you put on a hell of a show, man.
Yeah, Salt Lake's great, man. Their fans, they pack that place, and it's you see everybody up there cheering, having a good time, and their kids are running around. It just makes you want to just put on that better of a show for the fans.
Right. Now, Tom, you don't run the Lucas Oil, do you?
No, I did a couple of years ago, but I just go down and help everybody.
You get a lot more out of that with the traveling series?
I'd love to race that series, but it's
too much for the.
They're a lot better. They're a lot better than I am. I say that right now.
Let me tell you that. Again, just watching the Lucas Oil Modifieds over the years, they just progress into something that is amazing. To see you get finishes like that is really cool. Do you think that series, the Lucas Oil Modified series, has turned more into like a horsepower division?
Not at all. There's only one track, Kern, where you can really lay it down. Vegas is pretty much a horsepower track,
right.
but Tucson is you got to use your head. They burn tires real fast.
I heard it's a rough surface.
And Salt Lake's pretty much the same thing. Really bumpy at the bottom. I mean, all the tracks. Irwindale is not even a big horsepower track.
Oh,
some
really?
People say it is, but the only one is Kern. I mean, you really got to put some money into a motor if you're going to run fast there. But everything else is chassis. Use your head and have a great crew.
And speaking of Kern, do you think the modifieds are
no? Should not be running there.
Okay, you already know what I'm going to ask.
That's a second no, by the way.
It's fancy,
huh? We stay here,
especially after two laps.
Yeah. Well, we stay here and try to get the car counts up in every division,
right.
And they want to throw us at Kern. I mean, that's a brand new car. If you hit the fence, you're done.
Exactly. I've always wondered that. I mean, because modifieds are built, obviously, they're a purpose-built race car, but you get them on a fast track like that.
And you can't bump, rub, you can't touch, you can't do nothing. You just hold the wheel and you go fast if that's your thing, but I like to race.
Right. So that's where it's kind of a little shorter track racing comes into play.
Aaron McMahon, he questioned the modifieds being up there when we had him, and he says, that's it. I think it was three times. That's a fast, fast, fast track.
Right. Mistakes.
And he said he was holding on.
There
were several times he was holding on.
Yeah. It's kind of a shame with all the tracks going by the wayside on the West Coast that they're going to put that kind of money and build that big of a track.
Right.
To try to get the Craftsman truck or wherever they're called to get there, and then it's just not going to happen.
Right.
If we're going to spend money on, I mean, I don't have their kind of money, but right. a lot of tracks are going to the wayside. Let's build a track that we can race on.
Exactly. Well, it's good to see like the short track, like the Orange Show, you know, come back to life and be able to actually, you know, run a season over and over. Because Gary actually saw it when they put dirt on it.
Yes.
For a little while, for one, actually one season.
One season it was dirt.
I wish I would have seen that. Mm-hmm. And then they, of course they went back to asphalt, but,
I don't think they got all the dirt off.
Oh, they got most of it.
Yeah.
That was a foot and a half thick. Deep.
Do you
a little loose on that track there, Doug? Yeah. A little loose?
Yeah. Speaking of loose and some weird tracks, do you miss Blythe at all?
Oh, I love Blythe.
Do you really?
Yeah,
you guys like Blythe?
Yeah,
that's such a weird track
races.
To me. I don't.
You talk a lot of the races in the modified. They love that track.
That
really?
That was my first win in a modified.
No
and
kidding.
The Lucas Oil was at Blythe.
Wow.
I had a hell of a race with McMoran. We ran 1-2 forever and battled and came down the last couple laps, and I just barely got him, but that was one hell of a show.
No kidding. Blythe, that's just such a weird configuration to me.
And a rough track.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rough.
Yeah,
you know, conserve.
It's a
conserve.
Road course oval.
Yes, all,
road
yeah, you
course,
name it.
Oval, course, oval circle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh man, you tell you what, though, not just the modifies, but the local street stock guys down there, man, they get going on that track.
Yeah.
That Blythe track was just fast for what it appeared to be. Too bad it was like talking about tracks kind of going away. That's why
I love Blythe. Like tracks like Blythe and Havasu and these modifieds, you're never going to get full throttle. You barely get a little bit over half, and it's just a lot of finesse trying to save the right rear. And
is Havasu still a two groove track? I know when Gertzman was down there, he definitely made it a two groove track. Chris Gertzman.
Yeah. The second groove's up there. If you can get it to work in and get your car dialed in up there, but mostly
you
everybody
can't stay up
wants
there.
To run the bottom.
Right. You think that's just the track wearing in over time? Because it just seemed like it was more of a two groove track over the, you know, I don't know.
Well,
years
a couple
back.
Years ago, they raced the K&N West and they did something to the racetrack. I don't know what they resealed it or did
something
and it gave it some extra grip up there so the big cars can run. But you can still run the top groove. You just got to be half a second faster than the other guy to pass them.
Right. What's your favorite track, I guess, Doug?
I'd say my favorite track is probably Salt Lake or Tucson.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow.
A lot of room to race. Irwindale would probably be third and Vegas is down the line because it's only one groove.
I know.
Hard to pass. You got to use the front bumper.
Absolutely. I mean, the facility is top notch in the West Coast, but you know,
yes,
sucks to be one groove track and you know what's going to happen, but you know, hey, it always brings excitement, no matter how you look at it. How about you, Tom? Any particular tracks you like more than the other?
I like Irwindale, even though I hit the wall.
Really? But you're on the outside groove already anyways, right?
At Irwindale, at times you can get up on top and run quick, and then other times it's not there. But it just,
really,
I end up losing a steering box coming out of four,
oh.
So I had no choice. But
wow,
so but they're all fun tracks. I think everybody has their own special track. And,
oh yeah,
you know, you win there, that becomes your favorite track. So.
Yeah,
yeah. We pick a new one since Blythe is gone. So
where did you win last? That's where you want to go back.
Right.
Yeah.
What track have you won the most on? Did you say it was
Vegas?
Vegas. Oh, really?
I've raced here.
Just over the years.
A lot
right,
of years.
Locally. No kidding. Yeah.
It's like
you know.
Pat's been racing the modified series for a long time, and he hates Irwindale. It's
oh
just,
yeah.
He just doesn't even want to go down there, but you know, on other tracks, he just jumps right in there and goes. But it just that track makes him think for some reason. And there's tracks like that for everybody. So.
Is Pat going to run?
Yes,
it looks well. Also,
yep. He's
okay.
going out of Tucson this weekend. He's got his car pretty well set to go now. A little bit more adjustments than that, but he's excited about going down.
So. Tucson this weekend?
Yes. Sir.
Oh,
yes.
And you guys have
yeah.
a race this
yep.
weekend here locally.
Yep.
That kind of sucks. Huh? So you can't go watch at Tucson.
No,
I might go to
not
Tucson.
Yet.
Well, you can, Gary. You,
yes.
might still be able to go down
yes.
if your car's not done. So, no, nah, cool. So what do you think?
JJ's got Arlie. It's okay.
Okay, there you go.
So,
he's got somebody to
I think
to
that's
worry
the
about.
Blind leading the blind.
I'll be working by myself again, like I was last race with these two guys.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Before we get too far, let's talk about some sponsors real quick. I know it takes a lot to not just comes out of Tom's pocket, of course. It comes out of many areas. Any sponsors you want to talk about real quick?
We've got a new one this year, Spray 9. And they're really an international detergent. It's a really good product. We thought at first we'd never heard of it, so we tried it out.
Sure.
It's really good because all of it we've got is already gone. But they came to the plate with this year, and they were at the drags big time this past weekend across the country. And we have Benesis and the Painters Union and PDCA, and we have some people that choose not to want stickers on cars and stuff. But,
right.
You know, we got a pretty good support staff, you know. They help us a lot, and you know, one of the things we want to do is just have a good reputation, and
sure.
You know, we don't want to go out there and, you know, do something where it's a sponsor is going to be upset with it, because
absolutely,
you know, so we're pretty cognizant of that, and we get during the shows for where the kids come down, the adults come down, you know, on the tracks prior to races, we're one of the teams that always have something to give those people on that. So it's try to keep them clean and keep the sponsors with us and that. So we really appreciate our sponsors.
Now, do you guys have a website or Facebook or something that if somebody wanted to find out more about your sponsors or
we're back in the process of doing our website again. We had it up last year and Pat didn't like it. And, you know, he pretty much authored that and took care of it. So we're in the process of putting another one back up. And so
now, I guess, is it H-Town Racing that's the primary
H-Town
where you guys are working out of? Not just Chris, the Bray shop, but that's he's working out of H-Town Racing.
He's working
correct?
Out of H-Town.
Okay.
It's all become our shop now.
Okay.
So it's
so H-Town Racing is the place to.
So it's Hound Dog Town Racing.
Okay. Now let's think about Hound Dog. Where does that come from? I mean,
that's
something
Henderson.
Simple, or
let me correct it first. That's
Henderson.
That's H-Town.
Well, I know what H-Town means, but I want to find out what the Hound Dog comes from.
Well, Hound Dog came back in early days of modifieds. I crashed her pretty good. My dad was scrounging up some money to put another car together, and Fabian Bray was helping, and Chris Bray. We're all just sitting on a slab. We didn't have no garage or whatever. Just worked on a cement slab, and I just walked up, and I said, this old dog can still hunt. And we went out and won the championship, and I guess it just stuck.
Just stuck
old Hound Dog.
I mean, because obviously that's something that we always hear out there, Doug the Hound Dog Ham, and you know, it's always good to see out here at LVMS. You plan on doing any other type of racing, you think, by chance? Back in a super, not a late model. Any plans on that at all? Or
no, I'm pretty happy where
you're
I'm
happy
at,
where
right,
at,
Tom?
you may give me a different answer if I wouldn't stand there.
How about you, Tom?
I'm done racing. You know, I play around the bull ring a little bit, you know, but it's just, you know, I, you know, last year Kaylee was racing for us, and she did a really good job, and getting to know her family, and that was a privilege for us, and we're still friends, and, you know, it's just fun. It's fun watching a group that really don't know each other a lot come together
and
you bond and go out and have a good time. And I could tell you, you know, we laugh as much, you know, when it's mediocre out there for us as it does when, you know, you win. It's just this last win out the bull ring for not only one car, but two car, it was like,
that's amazing.
You really didn't know what to do. You just had your thumbs up and thanked a lot of people that are in the background for us and for everybody just being together for really the first year coming out. It's really, it's been remarkable. So it's hopefully it just continues when we go forward. We have a lot of fun. And
how long has H-Town been around?
Pat's family was involved with racing. His dad was a grand champion up in Colorado. We went up there about 3 years ago, Pat and I and his brother Joe and his wife, and we went to two different tracks, and his dad was Pat flew his dad up there, excuse me, and I never saw an accumulation of that many people around one person. Wow. He's so respected up there. Excuse me.
Oh, no problem.
But you know, all the brothers, Pat raced, and Jimmy raced for a long time. He got out of it a few years ago because his kids are going through high school and taking care of family business and that. But it's just it's H-Town name has been there a long time. You know, a lot of the different racers from Henderson, you know, really created that, and it just kind of stuck with us, and everybody else kind of went out on their own.
A lot of teams, I guess, drivers have come and gone through H-Town. Do you, when you see them out at the track, do you still have that camaraderie most of them?
Yes.
Are there any that kind of, hey, pissed off and don't want anything to do with you guys? Or?
Well, you know, something, I guess when you become a little successful, you're going to get somebody.
No matter what, right.
You know, for the most part, you know, we'll help anybody in any time and have. Sometimes, you know, as long as we do the right things, you know, it's really not important what other people from the outside do.
Right.
You know, we've had our ups and downs with some other people, but, you know, we pass that along and go forward. And, cool. You know, we want a good reputation out there. We want people to know that, you know, we're the real deal. And
you're there for each other. Exactly. Absolutely. So this year I'll go ahead, Jay.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say you're focusing on championship for each one of your drivers. Mm-hmm. You know, Doug Hamm here, Pat. So go ahead, Jay.
You mentioned your sponsors, and there's a lot of personal people in your lives that are helping you. You want to mention their names?
Well,
Tom, Doug,
wife, for one thing.
We got to say the wife first.
No question. You know, my wife has never questioned this. She's just, you know, she comes to the races when they're local, and my two girls and their like seven grandkids, they come up, they have a blast. They could care less what we do out there. They just want to have fun. And,
right.
There's a lot of people that, you know, call after each race and ask, you know, how things went. And
cool.
And the main thing is I always want to say, did you have fun? And the answer 99% of the time is, yeah, we had fun. So.
And any personals you want to thank, mention their name, because you mentioned Dale and Dolly earlier, you know, those people behind the scenes that you want to say thank you to?
Yeah, I like to thank Dale and my dad, Johnny. I mean, I said my dad earlier is AJ, but I got two dads in my life. And basically all I have is Chris Bray. I mean, I'm going to have to build him a badass wheelchair or something, because he's kept me racing for years on end. And whenever I'm short, as usual, he takes care of it. And we get her done. I just have to say Chris Bray.
He might want a Tesla wheelchairs. All electric.
you had said something about Kaylee Barker earlier. I just got a text from Ron.
Uh-oh.
Not just kidding. Am I in trouble?
Yes, you are.
Oh, boy.
No, actually.
You're out. New driver in. Sorry,
actually,
Doug.
Actually, the text says, congratulations, Tom, Doug, and everybody at H-Town. Good luck the rest of the year.
Same to them, too.
Thank you.
From Ron Barker.
You know, when she gets out there, we all stop and watch her.
What do you think it was like for her to get out of a super late into a modified? I mean, that had to have been a big change for her.
I think a lot of people jump in those and they think that, hey, this is, I can do anything after and everything. But when you get into a modified, it's all about throttle control.
Different beast, right?
It's a whole different beast. I'll tell you something. It's tough. It's tough for a lot of people to make their transition. I think she did a really good job last year. We had some trouble with the car with her in it last year. And it wasn't about her driving capability. Right. It was our car wasn't set for her properly at times. And she did the best she could for what she had. But, you know, she does a great job. She, like I say, she works harder than some of the guys that were in the shop. I mean, she's all about racing and her family and her mom and dad are just phenomenal, phenomenal people.
We had her in here on the show, and she said the modified, she enjoyed driving because you could drive it more aggressively than the super late. There was more finesse for her with the super late than the modified. You've been in late models. You haven't been in super late. You find, is that what really gives you guys the thrill? Is that it's an aggressive
division.
Well, I can't speak upon super late models and all the good drivers in that division, but as far as I can see, it's about rhythm and timing. You got to work on the race car a lot, geometry, everything's got to be right. Modifieds, pretty much geometry and everything's the same, but you just have to will it.
Do you tire conservation at all? Do you kind of pace yourself in a modified, seeing that the tires are kind of the equalizer of everybody in that series?
Pretty much every racetrack except Vegas. Vegas can handle it. You can run it hard, but you can ring its neck for 75 no laps. Kidding. It'll still be there.
Wow. It's good to know. Any other secrets? No. How about a motor program? You guys do motors out of your own shop?
We have too many motors.
And that's good to hear. You have too many motors, right? Who gets to say that?
We take care of our motors. You know, we have an individual that takes care of us with the motors and does a really good job. We take care of them.
I've been racing forever with Bill Murphy, Mighty Mouse Motors, and he kind of stepped in and is helping Tom out this year and helping me out and whoever's in the shop that needs a little bit of motor help. He's the man.
Well, there you go. Mighty?
Mighty Mouse Motors.
Mighty Mouse Motors. I haven't heard of that.
That's a great job.
I remember that mouse on his car years ago.
Oh,
man. Yes, sir. Really? I carried that on the hound dog.
That's cool.
Yeah, he don't own a machine shop. He's just a 9-to-5 guy and then likes to tinker on motors.
Wow. You know, that's a big deal, too, because I know, like, talking to Aaron and stuff like that with the Dave Arcee. He's a great guy.
He is.
You know, there's different ways you can go. You can do it like a motor rental program or you know, purchase and
run your own.
Yeah, run your own. I don't know which is the better way to go, but
we've used Dave Arcee also, and he's a great person. Not only a great engine builder, he's a great person.
What do you think about his pushing to try to get the fuel injection going into the modified series? I know he's struggled with that, but it's coming though, right?
I give him a lot of credit. You know, prior to him bringing that forward and actually putting his car in racing, he was usually in the middle of the pack. And the last year and a half or so, when he was bringing that program up, you know, he wasn't in the middle of the pack. He was toward the back, but he was there every race. He made every race. A lot of people, especially racers, you know, when they don't get that first one under their belt, they give it up and go someplace else. And I'll tell you, he's really done a great job. Where it goes in the future is really up to them. But I respect him a lot. And I think a lot of people respect him for what he's put on the table. And he's a great individual.
You know, the reason I bring that up, you start seeing more fuel injection systems for circle track racing starting to pop up in like the magazines and things like that. And at some point, you know, obviously that's probably the direction, you know, all series are going to end up going to at some point. But do you get a jump on it and be the guy, like you said, you fall back to the back like Dave? And, you know, he struggled with trying to get that program going, but he's still sticking with it, I think.
I think he taught the engine builder that was doing that program a lot of things, too.
I mean,
he tested that and changed things along the way, and he was still competitive. And I think he, you know, brought a lot of knowledge back to the engine builder itself. And I know there was things that he suggested changing, and he worked pretty in hands with the engine builders and that and that type of program. So, you know, it was a win-win situation, I think, for Dave and for the other builders. So.
And I guess for the series too, you see guys trying to innovate. Of course, Lucas Oil modifieds are always trying to do the next best thing, you know, with their shock program and all that. And unfortunately, sometimes it costs more money, but
I got a question for you, Tom.
Oh, go ahead.
What was your first race trophy?
Drags, but when I was a kid.
Drag.
Yeah.
You're one of the drag guys that do the straight racing, huh?
Yeah, I got wooed.
Is that your history?
No, I got wooed into this thing. I still shouldn't have came.
Okay, how about in round cars, roundy round cars? What was your first trophy?
The first year when I was in, it was in Bombers. Superstar?
At the bullring.
Well, first time I got up there, some young lady just come over the side of my car, and I thought, what am I doing in this? I wasn't even passing. I was it with one lap.
Oh, man.
Destroyed the side of the car. She ran up over the top of it. But that year, I got a trophy for some place.
What year was that? Do you kind of know? Was that
about 7 or 8 years ago?
Oh.
Yeah.
Probably Charger stocks back around that time. That's what they were called.
Were they Chargers? Names. Well, yeah, back then there were Chargers, but were you in the Chargers?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'll never forget that car. For the short period of time I had it. But.
You guys ever run dirt?
No. No.
Neither one of you.
No, Pat has. And Pat keeps Pat's telling us that you're supposed to be, but, you know, I'm left-handed, first of all, so my brain is different than most people. So Pat keeps telling me when you go in a turn, you turn right, and then you're actually supposed to go left. And my brain doesn't comprehend it. You know.
When you turn left, you want to go left.
On your trophy, tell us about a radio trophy you got.
He knows Pat, you know something that we don't.
Do.
Okay, we got to hear this.
That was that same race.
Pat's been talking to me. Huh?
He actually, after that car, the car got destroyed. And so Pat, having the personality he has, he comes to the next race, I think it was, and he took the battery. The battery was crushed in the box. And so he kept it that way, and then he put a little plaque on it, Tom Funstein's first race.
Oh, yeah.
So I still have it. That's one of the ones I kept, but he just he thought it was pretty cute.
It was
so.
The battery or the radio?
Both.
Both.
Both. Yeah. And the placement that it sits in, the carrier.
Oh, the holder.
It was crushed. What I was going to do is, you know, I've been in construction my whole life. I was going to take it over to my radio guy and see if he could get it back working again.
That would have been cool.
But Pat decided to make a trophy.
Yeah, I owe him on that one. He's going to get repaid on that one day.
So, yeah, watch your back, Pat. Something's coming.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
You better collect all your parts, Pat.
Any crazy stories, Doug, that you've been through? I mean, you've been at the track for years. What's the weirdest, any weird stories from you? Maybe coming over to H-Town Racing. I don't know.
Not really. I've got.
You can't do them on air.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us off air. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're allowed to say that. Nothing, huh?
Nothing,
yeah,
man.
Like,
all these years of racing, man, and you, I know you got something.
I mean, I think, Chad Mattis had a funny story, wasn't it something, or was it you with the carpet on the bomber?
It was something that he jumped into the bomber and had, it was with Buffalo Wild Wings, and I had walked over to his car, and I look inside the car, and there's a bath mat that's draped over the driver's side door, and I'm like, what's with this? He goes, oh, the car came with it. I said, really? Is there a toilet in the back too that goes with the that comes with the bath mat?
Shag carpet.
And after we had him on the next week, I grabbed a bath mat from work and took it out to him and I dropped it over. He came back in his super stock again and laid it there. But I know there's stories somewhere there with Fabian and Tom and Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's some stories that I heard from Fabian.
Not before. G-rated.
Yeah, Doug don't want to say too much.
This is the internet. You can. But then again, new sponsor, understand. Got to keep it clean. Got to keep it moral. That's what Tom, you know, everything's nice. Don't want to disappoint your sponsor with this. I'm sure they're going to tune into this if they're not. But congratulations. Congratulations with that sponsor.
Absolutely.
And congratulations to Peyton Saxton and yourself, Doug, and the entire team, and Pat and Jeff. And I just wish you a heck of a season, both here at Vegas, having fun, and out on the series.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, time always runs by too quick. We could probably go another full hour with you guys and squeeze something out of Doug to say, but we won't let you do that. Hey, appreciate you guys coming in. Thanks to you, H-Town Racing, everybody down at your shop there. And if we missed anybody, it wasn't intentional, you know. Looking forward to seeing you guys racing. Good luck down there at Soil Modified down at Tucson this weekend. So, but
thank you very much.
And everybody, come out to the LVMS when you guys are racing here locally.
Heroes Night.
That this weekend.
Twin 35 mains for Super Lakes and Twin 25 mains for Bombers.
And when do the local guys come back out? The end of this month? 22nd?
believe he's coming. Big rig.
Big rig. So the 22nd. So make sure you come out and watch these guys. H-Town Racing Comp Fun Site. Thank you for being here. Doug Ham. Doug the Hound Dog Ham. Thank you. Appreciate it. Stay with you guys here live at onwheelsnow.com next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Thanks for listening.